The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they're
sabotaging me
to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting
now?
For fairness. For
I'm
all.
On. All right. Wow, that was a fast warm-up. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How do you do? This is Rick Adams filling in tonight for John Stadtmiller. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Let's give a listen. Are we done with the music? I guess we are. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on short notice, I was able to get myself together, get myself in, and see if I could acclimate to doing the program. Very short notice. I'm telling you, it was just amazing because John needed to have somebody fill in. So here I am, Rick, filling in for John Stadtmiller on a weekday, and I haven't been able to do this. And, you know, I don't do this. Mike knows. I'm not usually around at that time, but I did it just for you and for John and for every one of my enemies. So I want you to all know that. We're doing it for all of the above reasons. And today is the 4th of April. Amazing, amazing. Time is just going by with incredible machine gun rapidity. And ladies and gentlemen, it is just frightening in one sense, isn't it? It really is, because it's, you know, we know that we only have limited time left in this age that we live in, this earth age and this heaven age is doomed. You know, in the scriptures, we are told that man himself, born of a woman, hath but a short time to live in this age. What is a short time? Could die within a matter of moments, months, years at the birth. But usually the longevity is, what about 110 the most, I think, 115. There are some who do live into that range. One of them, I think, is, well, they've been quite famous for doing so, is the Hopi Indian tribe. And they're part of the United States, and across the world you'll find similar tribes, similar natives, who apparently are doing something right, and we're not. Apparently we are not. But you know what? I know one who is. And I go to him because I've just begun the book of Malachi, the very, very, very end of the Old Covenant. And I find the same theme throughout all of Scripture because it's written by the same God. It's written by the same person. It's written by the same theme of the same theme. By prophets who were not just called by men, but were called by God. And that is the recurring theme of all of our scriptures. Think about that. Kings went, kings come, kings go. In 1st and 2nd Kings, and even in the Chronicles, you know, I remember reading way back when that this king lasted a week, 2 weeks, and then he was taken out. He was taken down, and he went to sleep with his fathers. And then the next king came along within a matter of a week or two, and he lasted a month. and the next king lasted a similar amount of time. So they came and went like Grant took Richmond, I guess you could say. It's just absolutely incredible. But that's exactly what happens. Why? Well, these kings, most of them were not good kings. Most of them were wicked kings, in fact, as we know. They weren't doing the will of God. Most of all, they weren't listening to the prophets who were called of God. Now, if a man claims he's a prophet, but contradicts the word and contradicts all of the other prophets in the scripture, that's something wrong. No, there's just something that's amiss. And I would say, yes, we're being lied to. He's not a prophet today. No man can claim to be a prophet of God. He can claim, or she can claim, to be a messenger, yes, a spokesman, a reader, a teacher of God's word. But there are no new prophecies to reveal, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm very leery about people who come along as prophets, and they build these huge ministries, these big, big assemblies and churches. And usually, how do they do it? Well, they go to the bank, to the bank, to the bank we go, to the Canaanites. They go to them and do what the scripture says not to do, to owe a man a thing, owe no man anything. And yet, they are not the lender, they are the borrower. They are the payer back at exorbitant rates of interest. And I know of one church in my state, Rhode Island, that came to this state from Kentucky. The pastor came here from Kentucky many years ago because he said there were no Bible churches in the state. No church was teaching the Bible until he and his flock came, until the independent Baptist came. Yes, until those Bible preaching churches came. That was about 39 years ago. Would you believe that? And I interviewed him on a program at the time on a radio station. Nice guy. He was a moonshiner from Kentucky, and he got a nice little ministry going, and it grew and grew and grew. He started out in a house somewhere that was converted into an apartment. Well, I would say an executive suite, a business, and then it became a church. And then he outgrew that church within a matter of a very short time, folks, because he's a soul winner. And the church is a soul-winning church. And if that church is not soul-winning, then they're not fulfilling the deeds and the obligations that God has said they should. These are evangelistic churches, you say. Soul-winning, soul-preaching. And if they don't get a number of souls together in time, God's going to hold them accountable for that. Sort of reminds me of the rabbis and the Holocaust narrative, you know? And they needed 6 million souls. 6 million souls would have to be killed in order for them to have a sacrifice, a burnt offering, as the word Holocaust is supposed to mean. It's an offering. And so these churches are pretty much on the same course in that regard. They're all about soul preaching, soul winning, and they're the only people that are saved. Saved from what? Are they saved from Antichrist? Are they? Are they saved from the lies of Cyrus, Ingerson, Schofield, Darby, and a host of others? Are they? Are they saved from all of the mythologies and all of the false teaching that they've been taught in their seminary? Are they? I'm afraid not. So now that big assembly in my state is bigger than ever before. They've got a multi-million dollar edifice. And I mean a multi-million dollar edifice in this state and in this area that is well known throughout the region. There's a sister assembly further on down the road. And these are the churches, they say, that are preaching and teaching of God. What do they believe? Well, they believe in the rapture theory. They believe the Jews are part of Judah. The Jews are part of Israel. Israel is the state in the Middle East. They believe that all souls came from Adam and Eve, all those created on the earth. They believe in a flood that consumed the whole planet, and so on and so forth. They don't believe in the higher teachings, the deeper meaning of the scriptures, because that's the way they have been taught. Well, I run into them all the time. So Malachi, in chapter 1, in verse 1, says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Let ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. Verse 3. And I hated Esau, and I laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. That thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. Wow. And they shall call them, the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. You see, folks, there is a difference. There are two seed lines. There are two opposites. And God loves the one and he hates the other because of what they have done in the world that was before this one and the world that is now. They're doing it all over again. Communism, socialism, Marxism, Leninism, Trotskyism, barbarism, all of these things that we are facing today and have faced for the last century are the product of these seed lines that are Cain's seed line, particularly, is the seed line of Satan himself, the serpent, the Malkash, in that Garden of Eden. The evidence is pretty overwhelming, isn't it? Each and every day I see it more and more and more and more. Isn't it frightening to see how the little tiny strip in the Middle East says that its survival is the most imperative thing on the face of the earth, and without it, the whole world must be taken down. You remember years ago, there was a professor, and maybe one of you will remember, but I recall that professor at one of the universities, I think it was the university in Jerusalem, but it may have been another. I know Iona Malachi was one of the professors that dealt with prophecy, but this professor dealt with nuclear war, and he said that if we are threatened, we will take the world down with us. We have our nuclear weapons pointed at every single European capital in that continent. Now, if any other nation had said that, if any other regime had said that, can you imagine the thunderous sound that would have made throughout the universe, throughout this whole land in the media? Well, he wasn't speaking officially for the government, was he? But was he? I think he was. And I think he was making it clear that we will not be extorted or intimidated, but we will do the intimidating. And that's exactly what Satan himself was all about, going back to that garden when he appeared there. He defied God, and he says he thinks he can pull it off. He thinks after all the truth that he had, and the way he worked his way up to being the guardian of the mercy seat, that he should sit on that seat, own it, that he should rule over the seat of mercy, play Jesus, play God. He is entitled to it. He's never repented. He cannot repent, even if he would, because he's already been sentenced to death. Satan is already dead. He just doesn't know enough to lie down. His day will come. He had his chance. He had many chances, and he rejected them, having the full knowledge in Ezekiel chapter 28. He had the full knowledge, the full benefit, knowing the truth, and he became proud. Well, that's the sin, pride, that taketh down nations, people, organizations, and so forth, when God is left out of all of it. So, Today, we look at some of those incidents in history. I want to play a couple of segments for you today, ladies and gentlemen. And the first one will be this interview that was done a number of years ago, but I want to hearken to remind you of these things, to freshen your memory up. Because all we hear about in the world is the nonsensical claim that Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, is working to build nuclear arsenals and nuclear superiority, and it seeks to destroy that poor little tiny innocent besieged surrounded state in the Middle East called Israel. And yet nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing could be absolutely more distant from the truth. You know, as we have found out in some of the interviews I've done on my program with people like Bill Beeman, you know, Professor Bill Beeman, who traveled to Iran. He's a scholar in Iran and Iranian geography and affairs and religion and so forth. He was one of the first, I know, to accurately translate that statement that was made by the Iranian government way back when, that was interpreted to say in English by the corrupt Jewish media that Iran will take Israel and destroy it. In so many words, Israel will be wiped off the map. And that is exactly the opposite of what they said. So Bill Beeman, who speaks in Farsi, said, here's what the statement read, that nation that calls itself Israel will vanish from the scene in the not too distant future. That's a big difference, isn't it? But all we hear about is Iran is the new Germany of the 21st century. Iran is the new enemy. We need to marshal forth our forces and do battle with it, economically, politically, spiritually, geographically, militaristically, in every sense of those words. So once again, we are being lied to in history, we are being lied to in the present, and lied to about the future. Mordecai Vanunu was a whistleblower in Israel. Like him or not, believe him or not, sincerity or not, I'm not to question. Maybe you can, I can't. You can question his sincerity. You can certainly question some of his statements, but I understand that some of them are couched in such a way as to preclude any kind of, shall we say, criticism from the camp of his own saints, so to speak, to make him look like a, quote, epitomized anti-Semite, that word. And here he is, a Kenite, a Jew. Here he is, an Israeli, who was kidnapped overseas when he left the regime. He was kidnapped from Italy by an Israeli squad. He was drugged. He was taken back to stand trial and then sentenced as a Judas goat, the black sheep, for blowing the whistle on Israel's nuclear facility. I thought it was time, maybe, since I'm filling in today for John, that maybe we could just replay some of that interview that was done a number of years ago and has to do with the BBC and its investigations about Mordecai. So I want to play it right now, and this is just one segment of different segments, or another segment, another topic that I will be getting into today. So right now, Mike, fire away. Okay, we can pause.
Every day at noon, Mordecai Vanunu takes great pleasure in ringing the bells at St. George's Anglican Cathedral in East Jerusalem. It's his way of thumbing his nose at the judges and the State of Israel, who put him behind bars for 18 years.
So from here, from this place where I'm ringing the bell, you can see from the window this building here. This is the District Court of Jerusalem, the place who sentenced me as a spy traitor. So the ringing of the bell is very good answer for the Israel justice, who was very cruel, barbaric against me for 18 years.
He betrayed his country. He spied on his country. He didn't express any regret. He didn't repent. And he is hell-bent to do as much harm as he can. So what we are doing is a very restricted, modest amount of surveillance about his doings.
For most Israelis, Vanunu is seen as a traitor and should never have been released. His crime has been compounded by his conversion to Christianity.
I start questioning and criticizing Judaism. I didn't accept a lot of what they teach, that the Jewish people are the only God-chosen people.
After serving his entire 18-year sentence, 11 and a half of which was spent in solitary confinement, Vanunu was released last April under strict conditions, forbidding him to leave Israel or to speak to the foreign media.
In very cruel, barbaric treatment by Israel's spy Mossad Shabak.
I'm speaking, expressing my views, my political views, my ideas. I believe we, the people, have the right to speak and express without any fear. I'm a mirror for what they did.
Mordechai Vanunu was a nuclear technician at Dimona, Israel's secret installation from 1976 to 1985. He worked there at a time when Israel was adamant it would not be the first to develop nuclear weapons in the Middle East. Vanunu's crime had been to reveal Israel's secret nuclear weapons program at Dimona. His 1986 Sunday Times article made world headlines, as did his abduction in Rome by an Israeli secret agent, who reminded him of a Charlie's Angel from the 70s.
I think it was Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett.
She looked like her.
Yeah, she reminded me of her.
He was drugged, kidnapped, and shipped to Israel on a closed trial, where he was convicted of treason and espionage.
A famous poem called I Am Your Spy.
At the time, the world suspected Israel had nuclear capabilities, but the full extent of that program was not known.
Sitting on nuclear factory.
Vanunu's revelations were explosive.
So my conclusion was they are producing every year around 40 kilogram plutonium, that is enough for 10 atomic bomb. My conclusion after 9 years working there in the end of 1985, Israel could have already about 200 atomic bombs, and more than that in the last years, in the 80s, they start producing a new material called lithium-6. This material can only be used for one thing, to produce a hydrogen bomb. And that production raised alarm in my mind and decided I should come out and inform the world and let the world see this crazy production by Israel in secret.
Why do you think that that Israel did not want the world to know about their nuclear program?
The Israel don't want because United States and England and Europe and Australia too are fighting Iraq and Arab who have suspected they have atomic bombs. And we all the world know that the only place we have atomic bomb is Israel. And I, by speaking, make it very hard for United States and Australia, England, Europe to fight the Arabs, because how can they go to Iraq and Iran and ignore Israel?
At a time when Iraq and Iran have come under pressure to reveal their weapons of mass destruction, Israel has not. Ignoring Israel's nuclear capabilities is a policy referred to as nuclear ambiguity, and it's the basis for a long-held understanding between Israel and the United States. Israel undertakes not to declare itself a nuclear state nor test a nuclear device, and the United States promises to look the other way.
Do you think that they have more secrets hidden there?
Of course, they have a lot of nuclear secrets. I only worked there 9 years, and they have another 18 years of production, development. They have many more advanced weapons production everywhere in Israel.
Do you ever look back and regret revealing Israel's secrets? Do you ever look back on your life?
No, never. The opposite. By year after year, you saw the world change, the Cold War ended, the nuclear race ended, and the world are trying to fight the proliferation of atomic bombs. So, the opposite. I'm very proud and happy that I succeed to reveal nuclear weapons, to do that act of stopping the nuclear proliferation.
Vanunu maintains that he's not a traitor, but simply making a contribution towards a nuclear-free world. He asks to be driven to the outskirts of Jerusalem to see Israel's security barrier. It's a trip he's not supposed to take without prior permission of the Israeli authorities.
Even if it's I'm not allowed to be here, so what? I'm not doing anything bad or crime. Those who build the wall, they say we are afraid from peace, we don't want peace. Because you cannot make peace with such world. And above of all, they should destroy the nuclear weapons. I'm here in the East Jerusalem like the Palestinians under occupation. They can stop me anytime, they can arrest me.
And what if they say, no, sorry, you can never leave this country? What will you do?
I will keep on waiting. They can say another year, and they can wait another year and another year. I think sooner or later they should let me go, because I proved to them this last year there is no risk from my being free, and it's only causing damage. The name of security is not working anymore.
But Vanunu's glib tongue may talk him back into prison. Last week he was charged with 21 counts of speaking to the foreign media, but he remains defiant.
So who is in prison now, me or the Israelis? I think I'm free.
Mordecai Vanunu right. Doing precisely what the Israeli government has ordered him not to do, talk to the foreign media, in this case, our own Liz Tardish. That's the program for tonight. Next week, the results of a Dateline investigation into the death of Indonesia's leading human rights activist, who died from arsenic poisoning on a fateful Garuda Airlines flight to Amsterdam.
All right, okay, we're here now after that clip, and I thought that was, you may have a comment on it, but I just thought it was apropos, and that is one clip among many other interviews that had been done, and a bunch of them that have never resurfaced except on YouTube and Vimeo and other forums such as those, and you have to, as a casual observer, someone who's not schooled in all of this, say, I wonder why. Gee, I wonder why people in the media just don't bring it up. Maybe, maybe they just don't have time, or maybe they're preoccupied with other things. Yeah, like Iran, preoccupied with building the one world system, providing more wars and more cover for the warmongers who are trying to destroy what's left of Venezuela, bring it into this this one world orbit. And the same thing with Syria, once again, a potential now false flag may have been planned, is being planned now, so that NATO, once again, is screaming about its necessity to exist in this dangerous and fanatical world. And of course, it's 70 years now. We have NATO for 70 years. And just like we've had the Federal Reserve for 100 and something years now. What is it, 101? No, 100 and, 106, 7 years it's going on. And we don't talk about the anniversary of the Fed, how it came in, and who brought it in. Now, the Fed said, we will stabilize the currency. There'll be no more gold panics, no more silver panics, no more recessions and depressions. And of course, within a few short years, we had the major depression, the likes of which was unparalleled in American history. But no matter, the media are ours. They're bought and paid for. That's what Mr. Rosenthal admitted when he did that famous or infamous interview going back to 1976, right? 77. All right, we'll take a break. Rick Adams filling in for John Stadtmiller. We will return.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I think we're back on now. Yes, we are. We're filling in for John Stadtmiller, Rick Adams. And, folks, it's a pleasure to be here, even on such short notice. I was just thrilled and ecstatic over the opportunity that just managed to gel. We at RBN often look at the network and we say, well, you know, we were bigger years ago. We were doing more years ago. And we had a lot of listeners we haven't heard from in a while. But you know what? I don't pay any attention to that, because no matter who's listening, it doesn't matter. Most important thing is that we stay afloat. We continue to maintain the course in a storm of immense proportions. And this storm is going to take down a lot of other people, a lot of other networks, and a lot of other industries and businesses that are failing fast. But you know what? I've always told John Stadtmiller, I hope he is listening, I've always told him that no matter what happens, John, you know what? RBN will be probably the very last to go before the very end. We're seeing, you know, facilities fold up, stations go dark around the country, networks folding, the debt structure is so enormous now that it is just insurmountable. And we told you this 100 years ago. No, not me personally, but we had patriots who warned us years ago. And they were all hushed up and drowned out and just given the back of the hand by the bought and paid for corrupt Kenite media, the synagogue of Satan. And they even boast now when you bring that up to them. Oh, that's anti-Semitism. Oh, that's bigotry. Oh, that's racism. And I guess you could say, oh, that's true. You know, those who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan, must have something very, very, very sore in their toes, because it seems like somebody's always stepping on them. And out of that, they scream and recant and yell and rant and rave and banter about how they're just being picked on, always being picked on. And that's what Satan has said right from the beginning. Their father, Satan himself, has always said, you made me this way. I didn't, he said to God. When his son, Cain, was asked by God after he had murdered his own brother, Abel, where is thy brother? He didn't answer and say, I don't know, Lord, or he's not around, or he's gone, or he's dead. He answered in a wise guy fashion, the way the Kenites do today. Am I my brother's keeper? Very disingenuous, very deceitful, very misleading. And those are the attributes of Satan. Those are the things that epitomize Satan. And every single word that we get, virtually every calculated word every day from the Jerusalem Post, the Times of Israel, all of them, Haaretz and so forth, is a calculated sentence, a calculated phrase, a calculated word. You see? Because they cannot tell the truth. If they told the truth, they'd be out of business. And you know what? It's a good thing they're not out of business, because God says they're part of his plan to destroy the old world order, to bring down this earth and heaven age. He's using Satan and his children to raise up his own children, and raise up his elect. And people in the true Israelite field are now recognizing more than ever before who they are in greater numbers. So every single thing that comes forth, even the truth, comes forth from the media and then makes its way here into the AP, which they own, Reuters AP. Every single story is calculated to bring about a war on the mind, to bring about mind control. An example from the Times of Israel. Syria rejects Putin that it aided in the recovery of IDF soldiers' remains. And they're making a big whoop-de-doo over this soldier that's been gone for 37 years, and how he apparently is the cause célèbre in Israel today. And of course, this is all politics. This is all Netanyahu. This is Likud and Labor and the hardliners versus the softliners, so-called. And it's all made for our consumption, for the consumption of the world. That they are a caring people. They're a loving people. They care about their own, and they really and truly want peace. This is the image that the Goy world has to see. In order for what? In order for them to unify the capital. Jerusalem would be the unified city, as we're now seeing it happen. For whom? For whose benefit? Not for the benefit of anybody. Not for the benefit of the nations of the world. Not for the benefit of true peace, because they cannot bring about true peace. But for the benefit of the synagogue of Satan, welcome home their savior, Satan himself. And he comes. Now we're reading about reports on the part of some in the regime that Israel, as it's called, is debating how quickly that temple, that third, as they call it, the third temple can go up. And you know what, folks? When that happens, it's going to be all bets are off time. When that third temple is erected, and I believe it's already been, possibly anyway, prefab, already constructed, but when it's put in place after events that would necessitate it to take place or condition the world for it to take place, then it's going to be a very short time left. That's right. We're going to see a very short time left on this planet, in this age, when things are going to get out of control very quickly. We'll see, as it says in the book of Zechariah, the four horns unleashed, the four powers, which will be and are economic and political, academic, media, and most of all, the religious beast system. And that's why today, after these false flag shootings, false flag massacres, not only is there an immediate ballyhoo for gun control in the form of banning those horrible, horrible, horrible weapons of mass destruction that are handheld, those assault weapons, except in the hands of the government, that we're also seeing calls for unity. We're always hearing about, let's not demonize our Islamic brothers. That is coming from the Kenites themselves, who demonized them right from the very onset of 9/11, which they themselves were responsible for perpetrating. They perpetrate 9/11, absolute no question about it. The preponderance of the evidence aimed strictly at La Cosa Nostra. And so, after doing that, they demonized Islam, didn't they? They said it was a terrible religion, a horrible religion, fake religion, evil religion, so on and so forth. Now, we could debate all of that, too, as Christians and others. I don't believe in the Islamic religion, but that's okay. I know for one thing, the Islamic religion did not perpetrate the attacks of 9/11. It was the synagogue of Satan, true to form, as Christ would warn us. So why indeed did they demonize them after 9/11, blaming them, which was impossible to happen in the first place, and then just a few short years later come up with this new spin on how can't we just all come together and love one another like Rodney King would say? Can't we just all clap hands, join together, arm in arm, walk down the streets of America and the world, and embrace a new faith? Remember the faith community, Baby Bush, and all of this claptrap? How fast we forget, huh? So now, everybody's a good guy, except those super-duper extremist patriots like Rick Adams and Republic Broadcasting Network, those that are telling the truth, exposing them, and those extremists from the white nationalist movement. So now we've found the new enemy, the new demon seeder, and all of us can be united together, except those aforementioned, except those who constitute the new Third Reich. Oh, the war is on for the mind, isn't it, folks? We do war by way of deception. That's the Mossad's handle. And don't they? So this communitarian doctrine now is everywhere. You hear priests saying it, ministers saying it, not the fundamentalists so much, because they're four square in the camp of the Kenites, but those who are advocating peace at any price. You know, the National Council of Churches types and all kinds of humanist associations. We should all come together and form a new religion, a religion of peace. The old religions aren't working. Put off your old prejudices, your old, you know, your old habits, if you will. Pardon the pun. But you know, I was raised in a Catholic family, and I remember in the 1950s. Going to catechism and going to school and hearing that the Catholic Church was the only true church and there was no other church. And then I realized, well, that wasn't true. Of course not. But there was something that was good about it in the sense that it was doctrinaire and it spelled out differences it spelled out differences, you see, that we today are not supposed to have. Right or wrong, didn't matter. The fact is, there are differences in people, in customs, in nations, and religions. But Satan says, no, there shouldn't be any differences. Satan says we should all come together. We should all put aside our differences and accept his love and his mercy and his one-worldism and his philosophy of bringing the world together under his rule. And that's exactly what you will always hear today in the media. It's all brotherhood. It's all lovey-dovey. It's all, can't we just do away with those terrible people, those white nationalists and those people that love their country so much, and the super patriots and extremists and radicals? Can't we just put them aside but never hear anything negative about the radical Zionist state in the Middle East? The most radical of all terrorist states in the previous century. For no state, or calling itself a state, could ever perpetrate such a hoax on the world and openly cleanse people ethnically simply because they are not a chosen people and get away with it. You see, only Jewry, world Jewry, could do that. And that's their term, not anti-Semites' terms, as they say. But world Jewry is a term that they themselves have used. It identifies a race, a group of people, a class of people who are privileged. And all you hear about in the media is white privilege. And I don't know what privileges there are today to being white, but I do know that being a Kenite and being someone who calls himself a Jew means you're entitled. You have a sense of entitlement, a sense of give me, a sense of you owe me. You know, the old saying was, here we killed all of the Germans and all of the Italians and all of the Japanese we could, and the Austrians and so forth, and you're still not thankful? And the Jewish supremacist comes back and says, yes, but what have you done for us today? And that is the never-ending refrain. It's never enough. It's never enough to make it to the top. We want more and more and more. And this is why there is a sense of revulsion at those who parade themselves around in typical supremacist fashion and say, my name is Ira Schwartz. I was here first. Excuse me, get at the back of the line. There is a sense of revulsion on the part of all of the nationalities, all of the other races, that who are these people? But yet they are complacent about it. They submit to it. They simply accept it. I remember one fellow, you know, who was a Lebanese guy, and he was running a gas station nearby where I live, and so I went in and I told him, you know, the prices were starting to be ratcheted up at a particular time, you know, and it wasn't just the summer time and, you know, the driving time and so forth. It was just orchestrated, as we know. We've talked about it so many times, how oil prices have been rigged and a handful of companies now run everything. So I told this guy, I said, you know, they control this industry totally. And I told him that. I said, you know, this industry, oil and gas, is rigged by a handful of people, and that we call them, or they call themselves, Jews. And he says, of course. Like that, of course. So they know what was done to Lebanon in the last 15 years has been indescribable. The Israeli invasion and reinvasion and reinvasion, destroying hundreds of thousands of homes, many tens of thousands of people, killing them. Now that's all been forgotten, huh? Except by me. Now they've washed that aside. They've just brushed it off. Oh, it's just another little footnote of history. And besides, it was a defensive war. And besides, they were the enemy, like the Syrians, and the Iranians, most of all. I have to remember those things. But we are constantly reminded in every single edition of the Israeli media about the Holocaust and how important the Holocaust is to them. Well, you know what? You can have your Holocaust. You can have whatever celebration you want or whatever memorial that you wish to have. But don't shove it down our throats. Folks, that is their supremacy. We'll be back with more of the Intel Report. Rick Adams, filling in.
Well, you were sleeping. They came and took it all away.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, folks, we're back now, and Rick Adams is here tonight, and tonight only. I'm not taking over for John Statmiller. And by the way, this coming weekend, I have scheduled this professor, this retired professor, who will be talking about, who will be speaking exclusively about the USS Liberty attack. And she will be talking about Israel and the government of the United States in her opinion, creating this whole scenario. Both ends, both governments in it. So I will tell you more about that when we bring her on Saturday, but this is just a little preview of it, okay? So anyway, we started out talking about Mordecai Vanunu and the what I call and what God calls the evil fig tree planted in Jerusalem. And that's in 1948. That's the year that would signal the beginning of that final generation that Jesus talked about. He made it abundantly clear in Matthew 24 and 5 that that tree, that would be the tree of death, that would bear henceforth no fruit forever, would be the tree that would be established by Satan in the name of Israel, the name of Israel becoming a nation again, which of course it never ceased to be. Divided, of course, into two houses, but still the Israel of God would be forever and rule in the millennium. Some people don't want to hear that, but yes, God does have a plan. And it is a plan of certain races, not to the exclusion of the others, but certain races in control. And one race in particularly in big trouble. And that is the race of King. During the millennium, they too will be here. Once it starts, it's going to be 1,000 years of freedom from Satan's control. So folks, in the next hour, and I'm going to take the call shortly. I didn't invite them yet, but we'll take your call. In the next hour, I want to talk about how Karl Marx, Engels, and the rest of that crowd created a war against God. A war called the 10 Points of Marxism, Communism, the Communist Manifesto, versus the 10 Commandments of God. And I want to go through them. I want to actually talk about each of the planks in the light of the fact that when George Herbert Walker Bush was president and he had his 1,000 points of light that he used to say repeatedly, communism is dead after the fall of the so-called Iron Curtain. Well, I'm going to show you that George Bush lied about everything, especially that. Late Herbert Walker Bush. Right now, I want to take a call. When we come back, in hour number two, from Jim in Brooklyn. Stay with us, 800-313-9443. We'll be back, hour number two.
Take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.